Remy Boys. Yeah. What's up, pizza? It's Corey Vincent, and this is Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? Corsair Gaming and Antlion Audio. We have a fantastic show for you guys lined up this week. As we promised, the month of March is video game indie developer season for Video Game Bang. Each Saturday, we're going to have a local independent game developer in studio playing their game, talking about video games and independent game development as a whole. This week, we have William Tan from Rocktastic Games, and he is showing off a super slick space shooter game called Rogue Continuum. We have chat in the action, asking good questions. We did giveaways. The show is only going to go 45 minutes because we want to play the game. So all that and much, much more on this week's Game Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. If the ish gets real.
Shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
The thirst is absolutely real, everybody. I am Sir Aaron Carter, and this is the Video Game Bang live on NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? Reactors are pulling out gum 2 seconds before I start the show because I don't want to chew in the freaking microphone, but it's all good. The show's brought to you by Corsair Gaming. Come sail away with us, everybody. Come sail away with us. Yeah. Also, Antlion Audio, everybody. Go ahead and keep your headphones and get a mod mic.
There
brought
it is.
To you by Larissa.
Almost lost it on that.
I love how you got lost and you kind of morphed it. You know, it's very strict. It's keep your headphones, get them on mic.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you personalized
like,
it.
Because I like...
Go ahead and keep your headphones.
I like hear the roar. It's a good one. Antlion.
Hear the roar.
Hashtag hear the roar. Let's get it trending out there.
Get it trending. Yeah. Hashtag it.
You can actually get things changed if you hashtag it enough. Because apparently they're really trying to hashtag the crap out of third season of Young Justice. So we need to get that going, everybody.
And by they, you mean you.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
On the show, you just heard his voice, everybody. He is not the fake, the real David Webb, everybody.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
So you're not going to join me in my crusade to get Young Justice Season 3 on the...
No, I'll join you.
Okay.
Keep Crusaders.
Did you watch part one or Season 1 and 2?
Watch Season 1.
I also watched Season 1 too.
Both of you two are terrible people. The second terrible person... Larissa, everybody.
It's not like I don't have other anime to watch.
It's not an anime.
Yeah.
It's not an anime.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Animated television show.
Cartoon would suffice. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Don't make it sound more adult. It's a cartoon.
Thank you. It's a cartoon. That's right. He's behind the ones and twos, everybody. Corey Vincent's here, everybody.
Yo, yo, yo.
I will never introduce you like that again.
Yeah, well, you made me sound cool. Isn't that what the kids say, the DJs?
That's definitely not what the kids say.
Now,
that's exactly
I'm going to ask chat a favor. Since I'm running the show, I cannot watch the UFC 164 right now.
So you already guaranteed.
I need the spoilers.
Okay.
As soon as something happens, I need you to let me know who won and how. Unless Nate Diaz lost, then shut the hell up.
You know they're going to do exactly the opposite.
What?
They're going to give you so much troll fake stuff. Like, oh my God, Nate Diaz just lost his head in the ring.
Oh my God.
John Cena just showed up.
John Cena just showed up.
They're not supposed to be here.
Hit him with a chair.
Also in studio today, everybody, from Rocktastic Games, we have William Tan here.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Are you originally from Sacramento?
No, I spent time in, I was in San Jose until about half a year and then we moved to Washington. And then now we're back here in the Sacramento area. And you know, that's where we are right now.
Nice. So. He is an independent game developer and he's here to show us Rogue Continuum, everybody, which is currently just on the PC?
Yes, currently it's on Steam Early Access for the PC only. We plan to release it later for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One this year.
So we're going to be digging into the depths of that game, finding out all the secret codes and stuff, right? Do you guys put secret codes in
there?
Sure.
That one? The ones that make your computer blow up.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. I love that type of stuff.
Did you put, like, secrets into the game? Like
Easter eggs?
Does everybody do that, or did you, like,
Well, these are the... I'm kidding about it. Having your computer blow up. But sometimes you put stuff in there that we know might or might not get discovered by the player. It's fun. It's fun on our part. It's fun on the player's part. I think I saw an article about somebody just figuring out a secret on, was it a Mortal Kombat machine or something? After like 30 years.
Oh, no, yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that everybody loves, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome stuff, yeah. Well, if I was the developer that
put
that
in.
I didn't see. I just saw the headline.
I think it was Mortal Kombat.
I just saw the headline.
Yeah.
But I
read,
like,
the article, but I was kind of confused at what they were pointing at being the Easter egg.
If you're that developer that, like, put that into the game and, you know, 30 years later they find your stuff, you're like, yeah, my job is done.
Mm-hmm.
I can die now.
I am now a legend.
So we're going to do a streamline episode because we're going to get into his game, definitely. But we still want to do some banging around the web, everybody.
Banging around the web!
New here, sir. Mr. Tan. So banging around the web is kind of when we just take a couple of stories. Normally we do a whole bunch of stories, but, you know, we want to get some rogue continuum in here. So we're just going to kind of focus on.
Sure.
And you can give your input on some of these, too, definitely.
Sure, yeah.
You know, first story on the docket, signups for Pokemon Go field tests are now live. So, yeah, I saw your eyes get big there, Webb, as he pulls out his phone to figure out how to sign up for it.
I was surprised Larissa's still sitting there. I thought she'd be out and gone trying to find Pokemons.
I mean, I have priorities sometimes. Sometimes.
Niantic Games recently canceled the GDC talk about its upcoming augmented reality adventure, but Pokemon fans shouldn't worry about the fate of the game. Would-be Pokemasters can now sign up for a beta-like field test, but unless you live in Japan, you might need a little bit more patience. So, sorry, Webb, to get your hopes up for 2 seconds.
He's like, konnichiwa.
Yeah.
I'm playing this today.
Oh, I see. He's on Expedia.com to get his playing tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. All right. What do you think about that, though? Just bringing it out exclusively over in Japan and saying whatever,
I mean,
European and...
Anybody from... you know what? Where's... He's not in here yet, but one of our buddies in chat, usually he's from Japan, or he's in Japan.
Yeah. Oh,
he can send us a phone.
I totally forgot to introduce the chat. The chat room's here, everybody, and clearly the one from Japan is not here, right?
Yeah, no.
Oh,
well, he could send us... It's not restricted to Japanese phones. The Pokemon are only in Japan.
So if you were a Japanese...
So he can go around and catch the Pokemon for me and then send me the phone.
If you were a Japanese tourist over here in America and you hear this, like, oh...
I'm on Expedia moving my fight.
Like, I took a vacation to L.A. because I wanted to see the stars. Pokemon Go comes out over there.
I'm gone for 2 days.
Yeah. And then they lock down the country because of Pokemon Go. They're like, I can't go back home.
They're shutting the borders.
Now I have to live in the airport. Like
building
Tom
a wall.
Hanks.
You have to wait, catch a Blastoise,
exactly.
Have them learn surf, and then get home that way.
Yeah, it says, unfortunately, these tests are limited to Japan, but Niantic plans to do more Pokemon Go field tests in other countries later down the road.
Europe,
so if you
next.
Missed out.
Yeah, it's going to be Europe. And
we'll
then
be last.
I bet you it's going to be like Australia or like South America or something.
No.
We're going to be last.
I'm worried about the breaking and entering thing. I have a feeling that breaking and entering B&E,
like,
is going to be
only,
going through the roof.
The Pokemon you want is inside this building that
so
you can't get.
Someone's
going
to play a game where they're going to put a Mewtwo in the middle of a correctional facility.
Oh, yeah. Because that's going to be.
You see the guy like outside going... Go!
I thought you meant like you, because you know it's augmented reality. Have you heard of this game, Pokemon Go?
I haven't actually.
So Pokemon Go seems to be Nintendo's first kind of big app that they're going to put out as a game, and it's going to be like an augmented reality Pokemon game. You know, you catch them just by holding your camera up, and you'll see them out in the world and everything. You get to battle other people. And I don't know if they go really in depth, like trading and stuff.
They'll have events where, like, epic Pokemon events where everybody can, like, gather in this one area and everybody battles that one epic Pokemon or whatever, and then you can all catch it.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Yeah. So, but as you said, the tests are
only
currently being done in Japan.
Yes, only in Japan. Because I wanted to see something. Maybe they did something like you actually see like a Pikachu out through your camera and everything, and he's moving around, and all of a sudden he runs into somebody's house, and that's when
it's knock on the door, hey, let me in, please.
I'm tracking him down. Like,
you don't know me, but there's a Pikachu in your house. I need to catch it.
Like, I have to think that this is going to integrate the GPS in your phone, as well as, you know, the camera and everything like that. So it's going to be able to tell where you are. And
I'm going to need to hire a chauffeur. because either that or I'm going to be driving and catching Pokemon at the same time.
I'm going to have to get a smaller phone because I'm going to have to keister it, get into jail, catch that Mewtwo, and then prison break myself out. So I'm going to get tattoos all over my body.
Should never, ever keister anything.
I just picture that scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off at the end when he's jumping over fences to get back home. And,
yeah. Actually, never seen that movie all the way through. Yep.
Terrible.
So did you get the ending scene of Deadpool?
Oh, no, I've got that scene. Yeah. Okay. I've always caught.
That's at the very end of.
But see,
Ferris
I've always.
Bueller,
this is why. I've always caught, like, bits and pieces all over. So I've never seen it in order, like, set and then watch the whole thing through.
So it's in like, your mind, he's on his way home and then he gets sick.
Yes.
And then he dances in a parade.
I think he gets it, Webb.
Yeah.
I think
he gets something. He has a day off.
He gets a day off.
He gets a day off.
We all need
He
one
should
of those.
Be in Japan playing Pokemon.
That's
but
where
he's,
should be.
He didn't do that. Once recently independent game company, now that's been bought up by Sony, I believe they did. No Man's Sky is actually coming out soon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They put a release date on it of June 9th?
June 21st. Close, but no cigar. After you felt like decades of hype, the colorful space shooter No Man's Sky finally has a release date of June 21st, 2016. It'll be on the PC, the PS4, and it'll be a full release at $60, everybody.
Have you heard of this one yet, William?
Actually, I haven't.
Wow. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, the thing is... Since we started developing games, we really have not had a lot of time to play.
You don't go visit the outside world.
It makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we all.
So this was a small. What are they? Happy Games? What, Flying Cat Games? What are they?
It's like
Happy Games.
I think it is Happy Games.
It's something. They were an independent game company, and they had a small project called No Man's Sky, which they showed at a terrible Video Game Awards show. And it stole the show. Like, the rest of the show was terrible. The games that were there,
They had big celebrity hosts, Joel McHale, it fell apart. Yeah, it was awful.
But they, this little indie company, which was like, what, four or five guys, they said?
Yeah, in the UK.
Yeah, their game, which is just a space exploration game, where each planet that you can visit is procedurally generated, it stole the show. So Sony bought them and said, well, you know, you got to make it on our system. So it's going to be the PS4 and the PlayStation. Oh, no, PlayStation 4 and the PC. But this is just me personally.
Well, here,
we
kind of didn't explain it. We put it in a little box because it's like Minecraft except intergalactic. So it's one giant server.
No, I think I've heard of it.
The size of the universe. So
yeah,
it's one universe. So if I buy the game, I get popped in a random place. If Aaron gets it, he could be anywhere in the universe, and we may never find each other.
And that's why I've been down on it.
Yeah.
But you know what? They've always said, the developer has always said, you know, this is not really a multiplayer game. This is kind of a single-player experience, but there are other people out there.
So you can, but you can still, like, if you do meet that person out in space, you will actually see that.
We'll actually be able to see the other person, but the chances of me actually seeing somebody I know, I guess, are, like, slim to none.
And that kind of makes me sad.
Because they're not going to have...
I mean, who else is going to be, you know, on my team to help me build an awesome fortress on, like, a random planet?
That's true.
But see, I don't even know if that much construction is in the game. Like building buildings like Minecraft? Did anybody see anything like that? Mine resources to get you fuel for your plane or your ship.
How else are you going to get guns and upgrade your ships, though?
Don't you need
Yeah, that's it, though. But no, you go to those space stations that they have across the galaxy, which makes no sense why they
but
have all
it
those.
It would be cool
but
if
no
we can just
central
like,
hub for everybody.
If we can like cultivate land and create our own cities and then. Anybody else doing that also in the area? Like,
she's like, and then it'd be cool if we didn't have to go to work or do anything anymore. We just live in this game of exploration and farm crops.
It ends up being like Sid Meier's.
If something like that happened, if something like that were possible in the game, I'd be a lot more interested because theoretically, when you get things like that in players' hands, somebody's going to build a massive hub planet. Yeah. So where it's like, oh, you want to meet your friends or something like that? Well,
somebody's
going to build
a
giant.
Star.
Yeah. Come to our planet. This will be the natural, you know, base for everybody. And then you can explore the galaxy from here or whatever.
Pay us $100.
Exactly.
And you can access our planet.
And we'll give you the coordinates to where we're at. But it's just like, I like the idea that a little small developing group actually got the nod by the big guys, and they said, hey, we're going to give you the tools you need to make your game even bigger.
I think it's a swell idea. I mean, now that you've told me about it, I'm probably going to go buy it.
They're making a collector's edition. Did you see this?
No,
for
it's on
PC,
that one.
It's a limited run. There's only 10,000 being created, but you get a 10 toy figure of the spaceship. You get the game, a button, and stickers for $150.
Stickers? Whoa.
Stickers.
Whoa. Like, I might just...
And you know what the best thing about the stickers are?
They can stick on things?
You can put them on whatever you want.
Wow. Shut up.
That's wow. Sticky. They can hold stickiness.
I can't believe it. That's amazing. How much again?
$150.
Sold.
It's worth it just for the stickers. Forget the game. I just want the stickers.
Star Wars meets Sims meets Minecraft.
Yeah, Leon 123900. There must be a lot of Leons on Twitch.
There are a lot of Leons.
He says Star Wars meets Sims meets Minecraft. That's accurate.
But see, the other thing is, I've been watching this game because I really been looking for a space exploration game. But there's another game called Star Citizen that I've been watching a lot of.
You've seen Star Citizen?
Yeah. This game looks like gorgeous. And I see a lot of people comparing Star Citizen, No Man's Sky, and the third one. What is the other one? Elite Dangerous.
Oh, yeah. The VR.
Yeah.
Right?
They're comparing those like kind of all together. But Star Citizen just, to me, steals the show. It has multi-man shipped. It does have planet exploration, so you can actually drop down to a planet, and then it has the first-person shooter aspect. So you got space battles, first-person shooters, and then just like a giant persistent world as well, or universe. You know, a world would just apply one planet, but this is like a whole, you know, galaxy type of deal. It's I don't know. I'm waiting for that one. It just seems like it's going to be more expensive than your
You're talking about Star Citizen?
Yes.
The one that has the $1,000 ships and stuff. And you actually have to buy insurance on your ships.
I watched somebody's like Let's Play of that, and he was like freaking out about one ship that he purchased for like $400, right? And he's like, oh, you can't fly it around or anything like that, but you can get inside it.
Gross.
Oh, my
God. I was like, really? This is...
Why can't you fly it?
It's not... And they haven't developed any... I don't know. They haven't programmed it to fly or anything like that. You just, it's a model. And the people are putting these up on eBay for hundreds of dollars because they only make a limited amount of them. And then they.
That's crazy.
Say,
and the part where you need to buy insurance, like a vehicle.
Yeah.
If someone destroys that ship, it's gone. You lost $400 unless you pay, like, whatever insurance is.
Which is $60 a month. That's just for liability.
You could actually get it done through Farmers. That's how serious it is.
Yeah.
Just ask your insurance person.
Like, I have Star Citizen. How much is it?
They're like, how many accidents have you been in? What's your gamer score? All right, you apply for discounts.
What part of the universe do you live in? Because it's a little dangerous over there in Sector 7.
Yeah.
You're going to have to...
Comptonia.
Exactly.
Are you a male or a female? Statistically, males fly faster than females. Yeah. So we're going to have to charge you higher.
Straight out of Comptonia.
But I can't wait for that one to get actually released. I mean...
Yeah. Is there a release date for that one?
There is not. That's the other thing. Because, well, I mean, they're under... Star Citizen isn't, you know, they don't have, a major publisher or anything like that, so they have no real pressure saying, hey, get the game out by this time. Unlike No Man's Sky, who has PlayStation, we need this game out. So it's kind of a just sit and wait type of thing.
It is a huge project.
Yeah, it's a huge project.
And they got a lot of, I think they got a pretty successful Kickstarter campaign, right?
Yeah.
And so I mean, they have the resources to build what they want.
They got a lot of money behind it to get them actors like Gary Oldman to do voiceover work.
Gary Oldman's in it?
Yes. He's doing the single player campaign. What's his name? Luke Skywalker.
Oh, Mark Hamill?
He's in there?
Mark Hamill is doing voiceover in the game. And this is all, you know, kind of indie game developers.
What?
Yeah. People just believe in their project so much that they were like, take our money.
William, as a game developer yourself, has there like an actor or celebrity where you're like, man, I'd love to have that person's voice in my video game?
Oh, yeah, of course. Morgan Freeman.
Wow. We got the next best thing.
Yeah, Aaron.
He doesn't mean Morgan Freeman.
Once per stream, usually someone comes in and says, that black guy sounds like Morgan Freeman.
Usually once per stream.
But he looks like Kenan Thompson.
Wow. Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, so have you ever had like is like one of your goals to get picked up by any major publishers, or do you want to stay indie forever?
Yeah, this is kind of a double-edged sword. You know, going with the publisher, of course, with indie development, you retain a lot of the creative rights on what to do with the game and all that. Of course, what you really are going to do might or might not be the best thing that for your game, but still, you know, you get to learn, you get to make mistakes, and you know, you get to get a game out that you feel is the game that you want people to play. With publishers, of course, the good thing about publishers is they're going to bring a lot of resources in, you know, and they have a lot of connections, they have a lot of outside marketing reach also. It's all a good thing. Of course, you know, you do lose a little bit of the, depending on what kind of deal you have with them, you know, you might lose a little bit of IP, you might lose a chunk of the IP, right? The game doesn't really, you know, belong to you anymore, and you might lose some of the creative freedom also. I'm not saying either way is better, but for us, because we kind of want to stay individual, and we kind of, if we make something, it's kind of like our baby, and we want it to be our vision of what it is, right? So at the time being, you know, that's what we're going through, you know, just being our own team and making sure our game is independent.
Yeah.
Now, not to say, I know that there are indie publishers today that are kind of half and half between. So just so you know, Rogue Continuum has a publisher. We have a publisher for that. They are Surprise Attack. They're not the typical, you know, big publisher that comes in and takes the IP and for our case, right?
Uh-huh.
So they're different. There are different things that the publishers, but they have been very good in helping us in giving us feedback from players, right? They've been helping us and giving us presence in conventions and shows and stuff. And typically we talk to them once every while, and I think that's a pretty good, I think to us that's a pretty good medium, right? Medium, middle ground between full on going with a publisher that owns the IP versus doing our own thing.
So we rarely get game developers in studio, right, Corey, you would say?
In studio, this is our first time.
Yeah, so I mean, and it's Independent Game Month, right? We're going to be doing the event in April. We're going to be taking over to IG for the Independent Game Developers.
The IG for the non-millennials who listen to this show means sorry. Instagrams.
Sorry if nobody got that. I thought it was just common.
I almost didn't know what the hell you were talking about. I was like, we're taking over the IG.
Yeah, Instagram.
Are we
going to
have the cops called on us?
The Independent Gangster. It's a local magazine.
So I say we pick Mr. Tan's brain here.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've been waiting for this whole time.
So my first question, because we'll probably have some questions from Chad and then these, you know, gang of knuckleheads in here, is where does, because when I was younger, I tried to develop, you know, games. I used little game engines here and there that were free and available. I even went as far as to go to, like, even the RPG makers back in the day. Mm. You remember those old school ones? And I was always a person that wanted to take my stories, because I like to write, and then turn that into something, you know, video game. But where do you say an idea for a video game starts? Where is the conception? Like, how does it...
I think... the idea for a video game has to start with the person or persons that create it. Now, I know ideas can come from different places. You might watch a movie one day, right, and read another book and say, you know what? It would be cool to have a game using this kind of gameplay mechanic, but set in this universe, right, and set in this having this kind of this protagonist, for example, right? And, you know, that's an idea. Of course, now the main things after you come up with the idea, usually what we do is we run it through a few tests, right? Okay, now are we if we do a game, let's say I want to do a time traveling game, for example. Let's say I saw, you know, there's a new Hulu series about some guy who goes back in time and tries to stop the assassination of JFK, right? And to be honest, I did come up with, oh, you know what? What if we can do a game like that? Go back in time and do that, and then you have to build on that idea. Because sometimes we get an idea, but it's not enough to expand to a full game. But then if you find out, oh, yeah, there is enough stuff in there to make a full game, and I think we can make this work, then, you know, then that's usually a good sign to take the next step and go ahead with it.
Because, you know, one of the problems I know I kept running into, and I've tried to develop games multiple times, is there seems to get a point in the development where people start to lose
focus
and then the drive to do it and everything like that, and then it just falls off and one person after another and then it just falls apart. How do you stay focused on the idea and get multiple people, if you have a group, focused on that one idea?
For us, we develop games full time, and we devote basically all of our waking time to making games. I think to remain focused, you kind of have to see the end goal in sight. One of the things that we, Rocktastic Games, that we ourselves are guilty of, is what we call feature creep. Basically go into games, it'd be great to have this in the game. It'd be great to have this guy be able to pop up and bash you in the head. Whatever you want to do, right?
I love that feature. Right? That's my favorite feature of any video game.
Jump up and
bash. So if we have too many, the good ones are of course good. You add to the game. But if you have too many of those and you see that there's no end in sight, that is actually the fatal blow. When you see that, when you can't see an end in sight in your game, that's when people usually say, forget it.
That's kind of like The Walking Dead. I see. Right. Yeah.
But if you know that, we're on this, right? We have five things to do in our game. Let's say we have five different levels and we do it and we're going to launch, going to get it out. Once you get it out, actually, it kind of rejuvenates you, because there are people who will be giving you feedback. Some of it, hey, I love your game. Some of it, I hate your game. It's fine. But you will feel, and we do feel, kind of more motivated to work with it once we get outside feedback, which is why I think one of the reasons also, you mentioned a publisher. Sometimes it's just great to have somebody else besides your team to develop the game. Someone from the outside say, hey, how's it going? How things going? And they're, of course, also kind of vested in you to have this game. If not for the pure moral support, it's a pretty good thing to have. So that's,
Is it more of a helpful or a hindrance to have your team think kind of small or giant? Like, somebody's going to be like, I want all this stuff in there. I got all this stuff. Or should you kind of like funnel that and be like, hey, let's not go crazy and let's put this and this and this and this a little bit.
I believe there should always be somebody that we call the blue sky game designer. Somebody who say, it'd be great, we have this in the game, it'll be nice. And if that person is not restricted with having to implement that stuff, right? So he or she's like, if you have the same person actually do the work and implement the stuff, and that person is trying to think of ideas on what to put in the game, there usually is a conflict of interest. Oh, if I can propose this, but I'm going to do like this 5 weeks of work to implement.
It cancels itself out. They talk themselves out.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a cool idea, but then I have to do this. So
I think the game designer, one of the guys, has to be unhindered by all that. And whether the ideas might be great ideas, the ideas might be crap ideas, that's beside the point. But having those ideas, and then we discuss those ideas. We discuss it in purely in a sense of what it would do for the game, not how much work it would take to implement first, right? And then that by itself will filter down the number of ideas, because some of them are crap ideas, some of them good ideas. So we get the good ideas together, and now we look at our schedule. Okay, well, we have this much time. We're going to finish the game in this much time, or this is going to cost like $20,000 in terms of voice acting and art and all that. For this much, maybe not. So that's where all this, all this comes in. And then at the final end, we get a subset of what we originally dreamed of, but the subset that we think is going to have the most impact on the game. So that's how it goes.
I mean, we're in the age of internet, of course, and it's very hard to be untainted by other ideas and stuff like that, and kind of be, original. You know what I'm saying? So how do you keep your team from kind of really just copying and pasting something else that you've already seen? Like, do you just put them all in a box and like, hey, nothing? Because, we spoke earlier and about a game. And you're like, it's kind of been heads down developing. And does that normally just take over so you don't really see anything? Or do you have to be like, hey, guys, stop looking at, Google today?
Oh, no, I think I believe that we actually have to go out there and explore. and watch more movies, right?
Okay.
Read more comics. I never believe I'll be saying this. play more games. and that the difference between copying someone outright,
mm-hmm.
Of course, we never want to do that. But if you see this game in action and say, "Wow, that's a pretty nice prequel mechanic," you watch this movie, mm-hmm. you see that comic, and you watch that and you read that story. And it's like, you know what? If I could have this kind of game mechanic with that kind of story, with that kind of in that kind of universe, I don't think that's. I think that's all valid. That's good game design because you're bringing elements in from different parts. And the only problem with that is I know a lot of indie game developers. If you really add it, then you really don't have time for all that, which is actually detrimental for the game design process because you're kind of closed in your own world, which is. There's really no situation where I see that as a good thing.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, akin to writing. Whenever we had, I had like little writer's block, mm-hmm. and I asked one of our good friends, Denise Davis, on some advice, and she's like, "You got to get out, change your environment,
exactly,
yeah. look at some other things, and you know, just to get a better perspective on the whole world as intended, and it should affect your writing." So, I mean, I guess in a sense, all creativity, you know, from music. You create music, video games, writing, kind of you get the same thing. You got to expose yourself to
expose yourself.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
We have one question from chat from Leon123900. He says, "How do you know when a voice actor is perfect for a role?"
Okay, so one, that's a hard question to answer because a lot of it is actually pretty subjective. You want to know, to me, When we look for voice actors, for example, I do view the demo role, the demo reels, and then I have a certain person in mind. There's one of our trailers, and you see this guy. He has a kind of a raspy voice, and he kind of narrates the beginning of the game. I picked that voice actor from I don't know, probably like 20, 30. Different demo reels, and I just saw it. Well, this is the guy. There's really no comparison. So sometimes we get lucky. I get lucky, and I find that one voice out of 20, 30 voices that, you know what, there's really no question. And sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, well, it can go either way. It can go this way, that way. So I guess I was answering the question without really answering the questions. If for me, I just basically go through one by one every potential voice reel and then see which one fits the character best.
So you kind of follow your instinct and what you have vision for that character and find someone to match that.
Yes.
Is it the same with the look as well?
The look?
Is it the same type of thing where I'm just going, like, how do you get that person that's an artist?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, this is what I imagine.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a pretty big deal also in the industry because there are people who do nothing but draw concept art, right? Mm-hmm. You see a concept art house. Mm-hmm. I think they do all kinds of art, not only concept art, but that is getting from nothing to, you know what, I want to have a hero that does this, feels like this, right? Feels tough, or you want to say, okay, I want a female character. She needs to feel tough, but she needs to be attractive. Oh, but she needs, but she needs to do this, but all these different things. And sometimes the artist will give you something, and you say, you know what, this is completely what I don't want, right? So
yeah, I hope you say it a little nicer. This is completely trash.
Well,
you'll never work in this indie industry again.
Well, usually we say we want to be blunt. Sometimes we say, well, this is, you know, really not what we're looking for. But then the follow up is to give them. To give ourselves also some idea of where to go from there. You know, not one thing I also learned is sometimes you need to let go. Sometimes I have a vision, or the game designer has a vision, and that person and, you know, and our artist may trip, will draw up something that is completely different, and then we just take a step back and say, okay, it's not what we really wanted. It's not what I had envisioned. But am I disapproving because it's different, or because my idea is better? And sometimes if I take a step back, say, well, you know, that's really not what I wanted, but, you know, it works.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Right? So learning in teams, I think the main thing is to come to a realization that you're not going to be completely in control of every single aspect of the game is something that everybody needs to, you know, needs to and kind of respect other people's what they're good at. And again, the main thing is, if something is different, then always take a step back and we ask ourselves, it's different, but do we not like it just because it's different, or because we feel our idea is really better than the others?
I have a question. Do you have the benefit of being able to be a full-time game developer at this point, or do you have like a full 9-to-5 and you just do this on the side?
Me and Casey and Tripp, we're all doing this full-time. So.
Oh, man. So is that like a dream for you? Like, this is like, is this... Well, if you can do anything in your life, mm-hmm. Are you doing what you'd want to be doing?
I'm a practical person. I think that this is kind of in the zone of what I like to be doing. So yeah, I think it's we certainly enjoyed what we're doing. We have restrictions, of course, you know, because we don't have 9-to-5 jobs. That also means that we are reliant on the money that we get from selling the games to be able to continue and do the next game, right? Yeah. And that always draws on, that always gives us restrictions. How long we're going to take to make the game? Do we want to make the quote-unquote perfect game, or, you know, at some point do we need to get it out the door so that we can get some funds in to go to the next game? So it's a mixed, but as for your question, the focus, yeah, I think it's definitely good for focus, because and I've worked in a corporate job before also, and at that time it was kind of a hobby, but for me, I felt that my, you know, 9-to-5 when I was in a corporate job, that was kind of the best time of the day, right? And I was kind of giving that to the corporation, and then the time at night, what little time I had to kind of belabor on my hobby, was not enough for me to achieve what I wanted to do. And that's why, you know, we took the plunge and kind of say that, okay, well, it's going to do this thing.
Was there a big, like, make or break moment where you realized, I'm not having enough time to give these projects my just due, I'm going to have to take a big risk here and leave a job on a dream? Like, was that a real decision you had to come to?
Yeah. That was a huge decision that all of us had to make. And I know it wasn't an easy decision to make. But today I still think that was the right decision, not only because it gave us the ability and the time to work on this full time, and I really mean full time now. Our pretty much every waking time is committed to doing something that would, you know, make the game or the studio go forward.
Nice.
But also it taught us a lot about coming out and being able to form a small studio and stand by ourselves without having to get our, you know, our funds from like a company. Okay. So that actually taught us a lot of things about survival in today's economy, right?
Mm-hmm. So call it. People who are just joining in on Twitch, we have a nice little group here. If you guys don't know what's going on, we have a special guest in Rocktastic Games. What's your official title over there?
Producer.
So we have the producer, William Tan, joining us. He's also local in Sacramento, California. And all this month, we're going to be doing these Saturday shows where we have different independent game developers in studio. We're going to do Q&A, ask some good questions, find out more about them, and then we're going to play their game, which is the best part.
I know there's a lot of people out there who want to be game developers. It's like one of those, you know, dreams. I literally today, when I was at a design meeting for the house, the lady's son is in school to be a game developer. And she's like, oh, you do a podcast and stuff? We have to exchange information. And I was like, yeah, sure, he can. I mean, we're going to be highlighting indie game developers, and he's been doing it for 3 years. So I was like, yeah, give him information. We'll talk and stuff and see what he has. One of the things, we got anything in chat before I go on to Mike? Because I got like hundreds of questions.
We do have a
like,
question from chat. We have a couple. Let's see if we can bang through them, give them quick answers. Gaming Since Gaming says, if you had all the talent you needed, what would be the ideal type of game you would create? Example, cyberpunk, MMORPG, space horror, third person, or a sports game. And he's like saying, if you had a team, money was no object, what would be the game for you?
So we talked about the games like No Man's Sky and Star Citizen. Mm-hmm. I've always been a sci-fi fan, and I've always been a space sci-fi fan. I loved Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
Games like that,
oh,
right?
Yeah, there you go.
I still like the lore of StarCraft. There was a game, old game called Star Control 2. I love that game also. So I kind of like, I really like games of exploration where you're going into unknown and, you know, you don't really know what's out there. And there's a huge, huge galaxy or universe of things. So I'll probably end up, obviously I don't, but if I had the resources and the talent to do that, I would probably have gone for something like along the lines of Star Citizen.
One of those big,
ambitious.
Because those are awesome. Really ambitious games.
Another one from chat, another quick one. Being an independent, what is the hardest part of getting your game known and getting people to purchase your game? Because this is interesting. We interviewed Raphael Van Lierop. He is the developer of, he's the producer for The Long Dark, independent game. And he was AAA, went indie, started Hinterland. And I asked him, this is one of our first big interviews. I was like, so what's the hardest part of game development? Like, your advice to other game companies. And I was expecting him to say, put your heart into it, follow your dreams or something like that. He was like, social media, man, get it on social media, get a Twitter following, because there's going to be games that are better than yours, but no one will ever hear about them. So what are your tricks to getting people to know the name of your game?
I think the art of marketing the game today has, like I say, you're either AAA and you have a ton of money to throw at marketing, but if you're indie, then social media is the way to go. Social media, conventions, you know, getting your game out there, that, and start early, of course, you know, before you even have your game completely finished, you need to have a following. But the good news is it kind of builds up on itself. That's why you see a lot of game indie game devs, the first game they do, nobody really knows about them. But you kind of slowly get the following, right? The second or third one, assuming you're doing a decent job on the games, then the fourth one, by the fifth one, you have a community that you've been delivering games for them, and they're ready to see what your next game is. That's one thing. The other thing is, there are always different ways. One of the more traditional ways is to find a publisher who would work together with the publisher. There are always these different ways you can work with publishers. One of the routes that you can do also. But like I said, today the not so explored territory is definitely social media. Right, so that's definitely something that you guys need to do.
All right, Aaron, you got some final questions? We hear that music because the people who are listening to the audio version might think, hey, this is a short episode.
It is a short episode.
You're damn right. You bet your ass.
To come out on Saturdays, everybody, especially for this month, because we're going to be highlighting a few indie game developers. Today, we're going to be actually playing his game, Rogue Continuum, for the live stream and everything, but you're going to miss it because you're not here right now.
Yep, so you're going to be wanting to get over here on Saturdays this month to really check out the full extended episode of the show and get to see us actually play the game with the devs live, which I think is like one of the most fun experiences.
It is, yeah. We've done it once,
two or three times. Yeah.
It's been fun.
And it's different. Fun. It's really fun.
Yeah. Don't forget to go check out the Indie Arcade, everybody, and it's going to be amazing. A whole bunch of independent game developers are going to be there. They have booths. Speakers, the band, or what is it, like a DJ? What is
it? Yeah, they're gonna have DJs. It's gonna be a party,
and then we're gonna be there, of course, everybody.
Then you know it's a party.
We're gonna take over their IG, Instagram for the uneducated, Corey, we're gonna be hyping it up all month, everybody. So come check us out. It's gonna be in West Sacramento in the convention center there, which I didn't even know they had a convention center.
It's like a community center. I don't know if we can call it convention. Convention's like big leagues.
Yeah.
Then you get like to arena or something, or auditorium. There's a hierarchy.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a hierarchy.
Okay, I didn't know that.
If you've been in bands and stuff, I've sold out stadiums.
I mean, amphitheater.
I was gonna say you've sold out high school gyms.
Is that
what that is? Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was a mandatory assembly.
Okay. Yeah.
Sold out is
it's a little loose term. Yeah, especially if it's mandatory to go.
William, let everyone know where they could find all the information about your studio and your latest game.
Yes.
So we have a website for the game. It's called roguecontinuum.com. You can get information there. It's on Steam, on Early Access also. If you want to go to Steam and just search for Rogue Continuum, it's there.
Any other, no Twitter, no Facebook?
Oh, yeah, sorry. At Rogue Continuum. And if you want to know more about Rocktastic Games, we have at Rocktastic Games on Twitter. So,
sweet. And go check it out, everybody. And don't forget to come every Saturday. That's gross. And check out all the independent
games.
Only on
Saturday.
See, yeah. We went the whole show, and it was relatively clean.
Gotta put it in there somewhere.
Come on, man.
Chat started to get dirty.
This is worse than what happened at the diner.
Yeah.
Whatever, everybody. All right. How much time do I got left?
You just got enough time to talk about the Patreon and that kind of
stuff. Head over to patreon.com/videogamebang and become a patron today. We just gave away Street Fighter V to a lucky winner who comes in almost every freaking show. She's probably in the chat room right now. But you'll have a chance to win an awesome prize once a month, and then the more you give, the more you usually get.
It's like the Beatles said.
Yeah,
the love you make is equal to the love you take.
So for William, Corey, Larissa, the real David Webb, I am Sir Aaron Carter saying you need to be here, or where else would you be?
Sleeping, I guess?
Maybe.